Eventually, I let somebody into my life that scorched the earth with scorched what little earth I had left and brought me down to the lowest I had been since my husband had been killed. It was about probably, I don't know, 8 years after he was killed, or almost 10 years after he was killed. And I hit that moment, absolute, not just rock bottom, but punched through rock bottom.
Hey, Barb, welcome to the show. We've been, you know, it's great to have a network like we have, but being sure of who is in our network is kind of one of those things we really got to keep cognizant of. And that's one of the reasons I want to talk to you today. You've been out and about, you have an incredible background in the speaking circuit, and you've grown a network that is vast and wide. But I want to talk to you about who you keep close. But before we get there, let's get that 30,000 foot overview of you and your background.
The 30,000 foot overview?
The 30,000 foot overview.
Okay. Up until 2005, I was just going about my business, living my life, focused on my family. But on June 8th, 2005, my doorbell rang, and that's when I was told that my husband had been killed in Iraq. And so from that moment on, obviously, the ground drops out from under you, but it just kept plummeting over the next 3 years because we found out, 3.5 years, we found out that my husband and the commanding officer had been killed by a fellow soldier in Iraq. There was eventually a court martial, but first there were hearings. So, you know, overnight I go from living my life, my normal life, focused like this, you know, blinders on, focused on what I need to do for my family and my kids and myself. And then everything is just ripped open and I'm going to Kuwait for a hearing and I'm going to North Carolina for 3.5 years back and forth. I'm talking to attorneys and we're front page news and we got CNN and Fox at my house and insanity ensued. Right. And I went down into a very, very bad place while I'm trying to raise my four kids. I had a lot of amazing people that stepped forward in my life to sort of, when I was at my lowest, carry me from here to there or just give me that support so I could get from here to there. And because of those people and that support, I was able to sort of piece things along, but never really got my life back together because I continued to let people in my life I should not let in my life. And because I still had healing to do that I was not doing on my own. I was just trying to jump ahead and band-aid it and distract myself from it. And until you go through that healing and until you come to terms with things and how they really are versus how you wish they were, you just can't heal. You can't get your life back together. Eventually, I let somebody into my life that scorched the earth with scorched what little earth I had left and brought me down to the lowest I had been since my husband had been killed. It was about probably, I don't know, 8 years after he was killed, or almost 10 years after he was killed. And I hit that moment, absolute, not just rock bottom, but punched through rock bottom. You know, because we watched, I forgot to mention, we watched my husband's killer be acquitted after he had pled guilty, which we only found out because I got a copy of the plea after the military denied it and covered it up. So a lot of different cycles of grieving, different things. A lot of unhealed pain and trauma and tragedy. And it wasn't until I figured out I had to take responsibility for some things in my life, including my life and where I was at and where I was going, that I had a come to Jesus moment in my driveway one day after a phone call on my 40th birthday, actually my 42nd birthday, and made the decision to get my shit together and pay up for my mistakes and own them and rebuild. And eventually, after a lot of hard work, a lot of tough years, here I am today. I'm engaged to an amazing man. I'm coming out with my third book. We have American Snippets podcast where we connect people and grow and share their stories, all the incredible things going on in this country by amazing Americans. Last week, we got to interview you for that, and that will be coming out soon. So, yeah, it's
You know, Barb, a lot of people know your backstory. They know your main story. But the thing is that really cuts close is a lot of us put ourselves out there. And it's not just on social media, it's out there in life. And while we've had difficult situations, sometimes those vultures do come in and try to attach onto you and just suck basically your life force out of you. Now, one thing I want to talk about today is how do we vet those people in our lives? How can we tell what is genuine and how can we tell what is a false?
I mean, that's a very large question that
it is.
You know, you can't, there's a, and that has different levels, right? Like you can't tell who's lying to you and who's not, unless you're an expert in reading body language or intuition and all this stuff. But there are ways to kind of recognize the people, not even who just come into your life, but the people who are already in your life that are having a negative impact at the worst, a stagnant impact, you know, in the middle. And then, you know, the impact that you're looking for on the other end. And that takes a lot of courage and strength and knowledge and insight to do, but there are ways to do that. And it's not just the people that are in your life. You know, I talk a lot about the power of proximity, and really short term, that's energy goes where your attention flows, and your whatever and whoever you focus your attention on is what is going to determine your energy, where all your energy is going to go. And whatever energy you're channeling towards those people or things is energy that you are not free to focus on other things and channel towards other things. So you have to be really careful, because your life is going to go down the path where you let your energy and attention flow. And that goes everything from families to friends to coworkers. Those are the easiest things that people can immediately pull up out of your mind, but it expands. It goes to the content you consume, the TV shows you watch, the series you binge, the books you read, the podcasts you listen to or don't listen to, the music you listen to, the exercise you do, everything.
It's like this, the negativity that just takes over. And I, you know, this goes for a corporate world and a Fed world. You know, I've been in a Fed for 20 years, and I tell people, I'm always like, you know, when I start getting very negative, and you could just easily, everybody could jump into that bandwagon. I always say 90-10, make sure 90% of your day is positive and 10% you save for anything you want to be negative about, but you have to save it up. You can't do anything more than 10%. And I said that to a few people. What happens is they don't, at the end of the day, they didn't say anything negative. And they're like, oh, huh, that's how that works. You know, you have to, it's true, your proximity. If you get into the wrong causes, the wrong political stances, the wrong anything, it's not necessarily wrong. It's just that it's so negative that it just takes over your life.
Yeah. And they can also be all consuming, right? If anything is going to demand all of your attention, you really need to take a good look at why this person or thing is demanding all of your attention. Even for me, it sounds dumb. My animal, you know, once upon a time, I thought it was a good idea to get a lot of pets. And now it's like manageable, 3 dogs and 2 cats in the house, horses outside, but little things like will distract from your time. The animals that pull on you and weigh on you, like that's a very physical effort. Mm-hmm. But imagine if your energy and social media and people were all those things tugging at you and tugging at you and tugging at you until you're broken into all these pieces and you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, and you don't get anywhere like that.
And you can't. That's where I like to just shift the focus back into, we have the negatives. We have them, but we have to make sure the things around our circle are positive. In one way or the other, we know we're going to have friends. We know we're going to have families. We're going to have others that we're going to need to take care of, that we're going to need to, like, you know, provide support and help with them. But keeping our outlook and keeping those around us outlook positive, it's a lot less energy to do that than it is to be negative. That's my viewpoint on it.
Yeah, it does take some training at first, especially if you're someone like me who had gone through genuine trauma for years, repeated trauma that I would barely have an opportunity to heal from. There would be some new level of trauma introduced. When you're going to a courtroom, you spend 3.5 years going home and then going to sit in the courtroom with the dude that killed your husband and listening to all these things. Every time you go back, you're traumatized again. And then you come home and it takes you some time to shake that off and get back in the zone. And then you're back. And so for 3.5 years, it was this tug and pull of trauma. Plus I had these additional things going on in my personal life. You get through the trial, you drop down again, you grieve again, you just start to rebuild. And then boom, I let the wrong person through the gates. And that was really like the death's blow to any recovery that I had done up until that point. And that, when I finally stepped out, that was an abusive relationship in a lot of levels. And it took like 5 years for me to go through the process of acknowledging that, identifying it, owning it, and getting rid of it, you know? And I think owning it
is
probably,
Yeah, owning is probably the toughest part, is because like you vested so much into it and you just can't understand how you let yourself, how you let yourself get hurt like that.
Yeah. And this is what I tell people too. When people often ask me, how did you find the courage to get away from that relationship? Because it's not just that. I now am very quick to sort of assess people and triage their position in my life and their place in my life. And I'm not apologetic about it, because I feel like if I don't feel like someone's presence in my life serves me, then odds are my presence isn't serving them either. So I'm doing both of us a favor, not by getting out of their life, but by taking a step back and not taking up more energy or bandwidth than my presence brings value to, right? But what I tell people is the act of removing yourself, the act of setting those boundaries is what they are. That's not the hard part. The hard part comes when you have to acknowledge that the relationship you're hanging on to, what you're struggling with, why you don't want to do that, is because you're just hanging on to an illusion, right?
Yes.
It's not the relationship itself that you're having a hard time separating from. It's acknowledging that there's only an illusion of that relationship. And once you are honest with yourself and raw enough with yourself to really take a hard look and be totally raw and blunt with yourself and be like, you know, dude, this isn't what I want it to, you know, I want it to be X, Y, and Z, but really, you know, ABC is happening over here. And so once you just stack the two up, the reality of what the relationship is versus what you think you're holding on to, and you realize they don't match, that's the hard part. After that, it's easy peasy to wipe the slate.
It is.
Bye bye.
And it doesn't necessarily just have to be in an emotional relationship either, because these business associations, these quote unquote friends that come into your life, as soon as they see you have some sort of, you're starting to get your foothold, you have to treat it all the same. You have to be able to, okay, you know what? I have to be honest. I have to be raw. Do these people really fit into who I am and what my mission state is? Because we all have different mission states, and it's just, sometimes that negativity, these negative people, these quote unquote leeches, I like using that quote unquote, will really just shock and awe you until you're beaten to some sort of submission.
Yeah. And you know, you have to tell yourself too that it's not even necessarily a negative thing. Somebody doesn't have to do anything bad to you, but everything has a season, as cliche as that sounds. And when you and that person or that thing, that content that you're consuming, you know, if you're watching one influence, and like for me, for example, I used to teach horseback riding lessons. I love it. I love horses. I love all that. But there is a certain level that I will take a student to. And if that student was going to, I love teaching beginners, and even in life still, like I love teaching beginners who are fearful, who are afraid, who don't understand their own balance or coordination, who don't know the potential. I love taking those people, introducing them to the horse, teaching them about the horse and the ground, or seeing that excitement, that love. Same thing applies to life and their problems and their challenges. I love taking them and showing them that this is not something to be feared. This is something to be like, oh yeah, let's go get it, you know, and learn it. And then I take them so far and I say, okay, I will no longer be serving you if you stay with me. Like my expertise is not in the next steps for you. I know how to do it for me, but my expertise does not lie in teaching you how to do that. Here are some people that I know that you can level up with, you know, and that's my service to them. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. If you've outgrown someone, my goal is to have my students, my clients, my people outgrow me, and then I can send them on. And that's the greatest gift for me, to see them move up.
You know, one thing I love about podcasting and doing shows and talking to people is I always feel like it's a therapy session.
Right.
And right then and there, I just had an epiphany. I always feel like, regardless of however I helped anybody out, whether it's from writing a book or podcasting or getting them started, I always feel like I need to be there, but I don't need to be. They need to be able to get to the next level on their own, and they want to. And sometimes I feel like maybe now I'm holding them back by not letting them go. So yeah, thanks, Barb. I like having you on.
Thank you. It's good. It's good. And the same applies to content that you're going to apply. You know, the books you read, the shows you watch, all of that. There's a time and a place where that stuff adds value to you, and there's a time it doesn't. And you have to recognize it. I actually hold people up now and I score people. If you are somebody who has a lot of contact with me, to the point that you are going to have an impact on my daily flow and my daily achievement and production, I score you. And it took me a long time to do that. And I have changed my relationships So if you're someone who, and we all have these, you're going to picture somebody in your life now, at least one person, that person mm-hmm. who is in your life for whatever reason, has close access to you, but constantly criticizes you, talks down to you, talks about how dumb your goal is or how you'll never be able to achieve it. You have in your head, you know, somebody like that.
Yeah.
That person's a big fat zero, right? That's an easy score to give. The next person is the one that's like a sleeper, right? You don't realize they're holding you back, but they are, because they don't necessarily express objections or support. They don't really pick a side. They're sort of neutral. They're like, you know, you can do what you want. We'll still be friends. They don't really want to get involved in what you're doing, but you know, they're cool to have a beer with you or hang out as long as you don't really have to get into what you're doing. That person's a one, like they're a one, right? They get a one in my book. The next person is the one who will express support for your goal. Say you're trying to lose weight, right? Jason, that's great that you want to lose weight. That's fantastic. I say, as I'm sitting next to you all day, ordering pizzas and burgers and hanging out next to you and having all the stuff that you are willfully trying to restrain yourself from, which is okay in some sense. You have to have accountability for yourself, but maybe now I'm going to offer some to you. Hey, you can just have one. Like, it's just not going to hurt. Like, and they don't understand what they're doing is undermining your willpower and your goals, right? So they're not necessarily actively trying to be bad, but they're not supporting you either. They're a two. They get a two. And finally, the last one, well, they're the ones that are going to be like, oh, good job. You started your podcast, Jason. Are they ever going to share an episode? No. But when they bump into you, they're going to be like, oh yeah, you're still doing that. Great. Good for you. Hey, I just did this really great episode with Jason Piccolo. You want to share it? Nope. Like, they're not going to support you. They're not going to leave you a review. They're not going to take that extra step. So not working against you, but not working with you. There are two. And finally, the threes are the people that you want in your life. These are the people that I allow to have the closest, most direct, frequent access to me. They're the ones that offer that tangible support. They're going to say, hey, Jason, you have that podcast. That's great. You know what? I found this new equipment or this new platform or something. It's really excited. Why don't I introduce you to someone? I have this great guest for you, right? That's a three. That's somebody that you want to have around you all the time. These people are not necessarily evil or bad. Maybe the zeros are kind of assholes, right? But the ones and twos are not necessarily bad people. They don't want bad things for you, but they're just not going to help you get where you're going. They may even be like, why are you working so hard, Jason? Come on, it's Friday. Let's go have a beer. Like, what happened to you? You used to be fun. Like, how come you can't be fun anymore, right? They don't understand that they're taking you off your path. So I triage them. And once you triage them.
Yeah, those twos are great for your 20s, right? But after that, you know, as we transition into our older selves, I find myself being surrounded more by threes. And it's absolutely right. I don't need those zeros, those ones. And the twos are really tough. You know, you want to have a couple twos in there because they're fun, but they don't really bring any substance to your life.
You like them, right? They're great people. You enjoy hanging out with them. But when it comes to meeting your goals and you have targets you want to hit, you have objectives you want to do, you don't have time to hang out with anybody, let alone the people who are not helping you move toward that target. So you really have to put boundaries on the amount of time you're going to spend with them. And that's only half the formula. There's another half the formula, another category that I score people in. But once I figured that out for myself, came with that category and one other category people get one, two, or three in, it's like easy. I'm like, okay, this is your passing score, your failing score. I'm like, okay, done. And it's not done with any like ill intent.
No.
Or, you know, I respect these people, but you know, if somebody doesn't want to get out and about and try these things, I mean, they don't want to hear about my crap anyway. They want to talk about there's chicken on sale at ShopRite. And that's like more interesting to them. That's what interests them and motivates them. I don't give a shit. I'll pay a dollar more to get the quick stuff somewhere else. Right. Or like whatever it is, like,
that makes absolute sense. Yeah. It makes absolute sense. And that's the thing, is like having a sense of what your goal is, and kind of you don't necessarily have to have an end state, but you want to go in a certain direction. And if people aren't helping you get there, you only have a finite amount of time.
Right.
And the more you have the zeros and the ones and the twos in your life, those threes are going to get you there. They are going to get you there, and they're going to help you get there, whether that's just from emotional support, physical support, or any type of support. They're going to get you there, but those other ones will not. And you're going to find the zeros and the ones are going to be either envious, are there going to be just in a background going, oh, you know what? He sucks anyway. And I didn't like his show and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And it's going to point out some things. If there's somebody that has goals that they wanted to hit, but always found excuses not to, they're going to distance themselves from you because it shines a light on them. But another thing to point out, when you surround yourself with the threes, you have to remember that they're triaging you as well. So they're not going to, you're not, they're not going to surround themselves with you. If you're a two or a one or a zero, you better be a three. You better be a four. If you want, if I want somebody to judge, to rank me as a three, I'm going to come at them like a four. And that's where I'm going to go. Like, so it's not just a one-sided thing. There are some people I'm sure I'm twos for. I'm just not, you know, in their zone or whatever. And they like me. Oh, Barb, she's great. You know, but I'm a two because I haven't really found a way to bring value to them yet.
In substance. Yep. Absolutely. Barb, I got it. You know what? You have got to come back on the show because we could talk about this all day long. Yeah. And just for the audience out there, Barb and I were going back and forth about what we wanted to talk about today. And there's a ton of topics I want to get to with Barb, but I want to keep these shows short. I want you to get something out of it, like I just did right now. There is so much to be learned out there, and there's so much energy, and just Barb, thanks. You know,
thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed having you on.
Thanks so much.